Praise the Lord, everyone. We'll just wait a few seconds here. We've got some more people coming in, so we'll let everybody get seated. All right, praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to be here this morning. It's pretty foggy out there. I'm glad everybody made it safely. Praise the Lord, I was praying about that because you just never know how things might go. But wonderful to see all of you, and we're going to have church this morning. We're going to sing some songs, we're going to worship God for a while, and then we're going to study His Word. But before we do anything, we need to pray, so I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast made this possible. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit, Thy Holy Ghost, would be here upon each and every one of us this morning. We ask, O God, that Thou hast anoint this service. I ask, O God, that Thou hast anoint the ears of the hearer and anoint my voice also as I bring forth Thy word. We ask, O God, that Thy Holy Ghost would be here, that Thou hast inhabit the praises of Thy people as we sing to Thee. And we ask that Thou hast anoint Thy word as we read it. And we pray that Thou wast abide over this entire service, and we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
All right, if you can find your melodies of praise hymnal, we're going to start with number 163, I Need Thee Every Hour.
I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Lord. And we do need him so much. You know, without him, life is completely vain. Praise the Lord. But why don't we go to number 67, Love Lifted Me. 67. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry.
Love lifted me.
know, there was a time when we were all floundering around, but He lifted us out of those waves. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we sing number 56, The Comforter Has Come. So wonderful to know that the Comforter is here with us today. Praise the Lord. And that is the Holy Ghost. It's God's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ that dwells inside us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, why don't we go ahead and sing number 19, Deeper, Deeper. Thank you.
of Jesus daily let me go. Higher, higher, in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, though it cost hard trials, deeper let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, higher, every day in Jesus, till all conflict pass, finds me conqueror, and in his own image perfected at last. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in my precious holy word. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Praise God.
Always go deeper and higher. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Get closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. That's what we all need. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Chuck, if you could do that for us, please. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know these funds belong to thee for thy purpose, for thy glory. We ask for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used. And we ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we're not real big on money around here. Obviously, we need money to operate, but, you know, we don't want people to feel bad if there's nothing they can put in the basket. That's why I always pray that God would also bless those who are unable to give, and I think that's very important. Praise the Lord, we all need blessings, and there's no favoritism here, so praise the Lord for that. We're going to sing one more song. before we get started in the Word, and this one's actually a request from my niece, Carla. She wants to sing number 198, Jesus Saves. She said that's her favorite, and it's important that everyone knows that Jesus saves, so praise the Lord for that. Good news. We should go out and tell everybody we can find. Jesus saves.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Well, we are going to get started in the Word now. And of course, it's always an exciting thing to study God's Word. He always teaches us new things every time we open it up. Praise the Lord. You know, no matter how many times you read it, there's always more for you. You always get more out of it next time. Praise the Lord. But we are going to be calling this message today, Complete in Jesus Christ. And before we get started, I want to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to open thy holy word. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us these scriptures, that thou hast taught us so many things already. And we eagerly anticipate what thou hast for us today. We eagerly anticipate the new things thou wilt teach us. We ask, O God, that thy spirit would be upon each and every one of us, that thy Holy Ghost would be here. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And as I mentioned, the title of this message today is Complete in Jesus Christ. And we are going to be looking at that topic today because there are a lot of people out there who feel like there's a void in their lives, like something is missing, and they don't know how to fill that void. So they try a lot of things, you know, they chase after religion a lot of times, and they get into a lot of messes that way, and you know, maybe they chase after money, thinking that will make them happy. But I'll let you know something. If you look around at a lot of those rich people out there, they're not very happy. So money won't do that for you. And, you know, some people, unfortunately, they'll even turn to drugs or alcohol or whatever to try to fill that void that they have in their lives because they don't know how to fill it. They know there's something missing, but they don't know what to do about it. So we're going to look at that topic today, complete in Jesus Christ. But the first place we're going to be going to is Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. And of course, Ecclesiastes is a very interesting book. It details a lot of the vanity of life here for men and women, and it really details the necessity that we have to have God in our lives, that need that we have to have God in our lives. It's very apparent all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to be starting in chapter 1, and this book is generally regarded to have been written by Solomon. He doesn't say that specifically by name. The writer is called the preacher in this case, but it most likely was Solomon because it was king. It was a king of Judah and son of David. So therefore, it was most likely Solomon. And we are going to start in right here because this is, like I said, this is a very interesting book. And we're going to be going to a few of the chapters here. We don't have time to do the entire book today. Perhaps we'll do that another time. But we're going to start in on chapter 1, which tells us, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity." You see, he looked around in the world. He saw everything there was. All of his riches, all of his fame, all of the things people worked for in this life. And he sees the vanity of it. And that's a word we're going to be seeing a lot as we look at Ecclesiastes, the word vanity. He used that word a lot. And the word vanity, of course, can mean a few different things. Actually, if you look it up in the dictionary, there are 7 different definitions. The first one is excessive pride in one's appearance, qualities, abilities, achievements, etc., character or quality of being vain, conceit. Number 2, an instance or display of this quality or feeling. And number 3, something about which one is vain. Number 4, lack of real value, hollowness, worthlessness, the vanity of a selfish life. And that's really what the preacher is talking about in this book. That's what he means by vanity, the lack of real value, the hollowness of life. Or definition 5, something worthless, trivial, or pointless. You could use that one too. And the other two are the vanity case and a dressing table, so pretty sure it's not talking about those. But anyway, he uses that word vanity a lot, and what that means is that hollowness, that chasing after something that really is of no consequence in life at all. And he talks about that in depth in this book. Verse 3, "What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." And you know, he may not have intended it to mean the new earth that will abide forever, but we can take it to mean it that way. We know that this earth that we're on now will not abide forever. It is going to be destroyed at some point. And actually, it'll be a horrible thing for a lot of people, but it'll be a wonderful thing for those who follow the Lord. We do have a new heavens and a new earth to look forward to, and that one will abide forever. Verse 5, "The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." So what this preacher is talking about, he's talking about the cycle of life, how the same things just seem to happen over and over and over again. And, you know, everything that's happened before, it's happening again, and everything that happened, somebody did it before. And it's basically the gist of what he's saying here in this first chapter. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. And you know, for the most part, that's true. The things we see, they've happened before, a lot of them. And in this day and age, things tend to get worse and worse. But, you know, we see a lot of bad things that happen over and over again, and we see the cycle of life. But you know what? This isn't always the case. Sometimes there are things that are new. When we come to the Lord Jesus, when we're baptized in his name, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And as we studied last week in the book of Revelation, he said, I make a new heavens and a new earth. And if you read Revelation 21, it talks about that. I make all things new. And that's wonderful. That will be completely new to us. You know, in this world, it seems like it's dull sometimes. The same things over and over again. The drudgery of life. And you will always have that drudgery in your life if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only remedy for it. But he's speaking of that in this book, that drudgery, you know. And it certainly seems like there aren't a lot of new ideas out there anymore. You know, if you've seen 10 movies, you've probably seen them all. And, you know, if you ever turn on the radio, all of the music sounds exactly the same. It's the same thing over and over again. But thankfully, we have new things to look forward to in the Lord Jesus Christ. Aside from that, then there's a lot of truth to what the preacher is saying, that there is no new thing under the sun, the same things over and over again. And, you know, a lot of people feel that sort of futile existence. They don't know what to do with themselves. They go to work every day, punch the clock, they come home, and they do it over and over and over again. And, you know, a lot of those people are really sad because they just don't feel fulfilled. They know there's something missing in their life. But what is that? And we're going to be looking at that later on, but I'll tell you, it's the Lord Jesus. We need him to fill that void in our lives. He's the only one who can. And when his Spirit, when the Holy Ghost comes into us, that void is filled, and we can be happy and fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, is there anything where it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, a lot of the things people do out there, it's just vanity. It doesn't really serve any purpose. It's just vanity. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. So we see here the preacher speaking, and you know what he's saying there in verse 15, that usually is true for the most part. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. But actually, there is one who can make that which is crooked straight. In fact, why don't we go now to the book of Isaiah chapter 42, and we're going to look at the one, the only one, who can make the crooked straight. And you know, when you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's very true, the crooked cannot be made straight. But when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he can make the crooked straight. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 42. And when we read this chapter, we need to bear in mind that these verses we're reading, they are all about the Lord Jesus. And it's really amazing when you read the book of Isaiah, you find the Lord Jesus throughout that book vividly described. It couldn't be anyone else. Isaiah 42 verse 1 tells us, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And that is speaking of the Lord Jesus, as I said, the elect of God. He put his spirit in him. When Jesus was here on earth, he had the very Spirit of God dwelling inside him. God, very God, robed in flesh. His Spirit upon him and in him. That's what it was when Jesus was here. In this, on this in this earth, on this planet. That's what made him so special. He was both God and man. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for him, for his law. And you know what? He didn't fail. He didn't fail. He succeeded at what he came to do. He came to save that which were lost, and he did that very thing, and he's still doing it to this day. Gathering the lost sheep, praise the Lord. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And isn't that what Jesus Christ did? He brought us a new covenant. And he is our light, even to the Gentiles, even for us. Praise the Lord, we don't have to be Jewish to be saved. Praise the Lord. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And you know, that's what he came to do. He brought us out of that prison. We were lost, we were floundering around, but he set us free. That's what he came to do. He brought us salvation. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. You know, people in this world, they like to get the glory. But God says that he will not give his glory to another. He's not going to let others have his glory. That glory belongs to God only. And all he's given us, and if we have any special talents, whatever the case may be, we need to make sure we give all glory to God, because all good things we have come from the Lord. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. See, in Ecclesiastes we read, there's nothing new under the sun. And the only source of new things is from the Lord Jesus. He's the one who makes all things new. Amen. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. And you know what? The Lord Jesus did that very thing. He came and he overcame the devil. You know, when he was hanging on that cross for our sins, there was a war going on in heaven, and that war was won by the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan was defeated. Praise the Lord. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. You know, that there is judgment and destruction that come from the Lord for the unrepentant sinners, but thankfully, that doesn't have to be our situation. We can repent of our sins, we can be forgiven, and for those who do, God is willing and ready to bring you salvation. He is willing and ready to fill that void in our lives. Yeah. Verse 16, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that have not that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. You see, it's only the Lord Jesus who can make crooked things straight. You know, you read that book of Ecclesiastes, and some people might look at that and they might get the wrong idea. They might think, well, what's the point of life? He makes a good point there. Everything is vanity. What's my purpose? But you know what? If you read the end of that book, he'll tell you exactly what your purpose is. And that's something we're going to be looking at a little later. But we see here in Isaiah 42 that yes, new things do come from the Lord Jesus, and only from him. He makes us new creatures. He makes all things new. And he sets the crooked things straight. Only he can do that. For those who don't have the Lord Jesus in their lives, that seems impossible. But it's not impossible for God. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes. We'll continue on there. Verse 16 in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 tells us, I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Of course, we remember that Solomon had great knowledge. That was his gift from the Lord. The Lord gave him great wisdom, great knowledge, and so forth, and he was a very wise man. And you know, it's kind of ironic, though, because even though he was a very wise man, he did a lot of foolish things. He married a lot of wives, he had a lot of concubines, they led him astray. Pretty soon he was making temples for false gods, but there was a time when he was a very, very wise man. He had a lot of wisdom from the Lord. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly, I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. You know, sometimes doesn't it seem that way? The more you know, the worse you feel about it, but there are things that we need to know. So we're not going to worry about that. We have the Comforter. He can comfort us no matter how bad things may seem. Praise the Lord. And we're going to continue on here in chapter 2. And verse 1 tells us, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. So now he's talking about mirth. Or, you know, another word you could use for that is jolly, jolliness. Mean jolly, or what the word gay used to mean. Gaiety, that used to mean happiness, but they took that word and changed that all around. But that's what it means there by the word mirth. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So we see people, they'll try all sorts of things to try to fill that void in their lives, that emptiness, that hollowness of their existence. They'll try mirth, and they'll try even wine, strong drink. A lot of people, they're so unhappy that they have to go out and get drunk all the time. And you know, you're not going to find fulfillment in any of that. And you know, sin has this way of looking good to people, but it's kind of like salt water. You know, imagine yourself on a lifeboat in the middle of the ocean, and you're so thirsty, and you think, oh, that water looks good. I'm going to drink some of that. But then when you do, you see it's salt water, and the more you drink, the more thirsty you get. You can't fill that desire. You can't quench that thirst. And sin is the same way. You might think you're filling a void in your life, but it's not going to fill that void. You're just going to have more and more sin. That's the way it works. That won't give you a happy and fulfilled life. Verse 3, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted my vineyards. He's trying all sorts of things to find fulfillment in his life, to occupy his days, just something to do. Great works. He built houses, planted vineyards. Verse 5, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. You know, a lot of people, it seems like the only thing that they can think of to try to fulfill that void in their lives is to buy more stuff, to gain more possessions, more riches, and that's a lot of what the preacher here is talking about in this chapter. He had a lot of things, a lot of great things, but those things aren't going to make you happy. They're not going to fill that void in your life. And he will bear that out in this chapter as we continue on. He had so many possessions, so much stuff, more stuff than any of us could ever imagine, but did that make him happy? No. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. You know, this man, Solomon, he had more than anybody else in all of Israel. He had money, possessions, wealth, a lot of concubines and wives. He had anything and everything you could imagine at that time. And did that fulfill him? Did that make him complete? Did that make him happy? No. And he's expressing that in this chapter. He's saying, look, I got all of these things, all of this stuff, all of these possessions. And you know what? It's vanity. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So he had all of this stuff, servants and maidens, big staff to take care of him, obviously, tend to his needs. He could have anything he wanted. But he looked around at everything he had, and he realized, this is all vanity. I'm trying to fill my life with these things, but it doesn't fill that void. Only God can do that. And he will bear that out when we look at the final chapter in this book a little later. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. You know, there are a lot of people out there, they think they're so wise. They've got a big pile of degrees. They're considered scholars or very wise scientists. But, you know, someday they're going to leave this world and they're going to be no better than the common man. Those who are considered stupid or foolish. That's the great equalizer, isn't it? When we leave this world. So, you know, a lot of people, they're proud of their accomplishments and their degrees and so forth, but that's vanity too. There's only one way to live a fulfilling life, and we need the Lord Jesus for that. Verse 16. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man as the fool. We all die the same way, don't we? You know, we're all put in the ground. It doesn't matter if we're rich, it doesn't matter if we're poor, it doesn't matter if we're wise. It's all the same, that great equalizer. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So he's looking around at everything he has, and he's just saying, this is all vanity. And you know, people, they aspire to become wealthy a lot of times. You know, they want to win the lottery or whatever. That's not going to make you happy. You know, a lot of people who have won the lottery, they're worse off than they were before. And, you know, they blow through that money so quick, and then all of a sudden they have less than they had before they won the lottery. People might ask, how is that even possible? They won millions of dollars. Well, they find a way. And, you know, I've heard many stories about that. They go bankrupt after they win the lottery. Those riches aren't going to help you live a fulfilled life. They're not going to fill that void. They're not going to make you happy. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. We all know that old expression, you can't take it with you, and it's so very true. Everything you have, all of your possessions, when you leave this earth, they're going to go to somebody else. And, you know, hopefully you have a will and some heirs, otherwise the government will probably come in and take it off your hands. Doesn't really seem fair, but they do like to do that sometimes. But we can't take it with us. Everything we have is going to go to somebody else when we pass from this world. But you know what? That's fine. Because where we're going, we're not going to need all that stuff.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Verse 19, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. And you know, the Lord does bless us with food and drink, and we're thankful for that. But you know, we can apply this spiritually too. And when you apply that spiritually, there's nothing better than eating the bread of life and drinking that water from the wells of Jesus. Praise the Lord. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So we see that there's a lot of futility in life if you don't have God. In the preacher here, Solomon, he sees that, he understands that. He had so much stuff, more than any of us could ever imagine, so many riches, that he looked at all that and he said, this is vanity. Vanity. Something hollow. It doesn't fulfill me. It doesn't complete me. Why don't we go to Psalm 63? And we're going to start to look at how you can feel happy and fulfilled in this life. How you can be completed, how you can live a happy and fulfilled life. Psalm 63. Something that can quench that thirst. Something that can that thing that is missing that we're all seeking, that we all need. You know, people go out there and they sin trying to be happy. But you know what? It's not going to make you happy. Sin can't do that. There's only one way to quench that thirst, to heal that brokenheartedness, that thing that's missing in your life, to find it. There's only one way. Psalm 63, verse 1 tells us, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. And there are people out there, they're dry and they're thirsty, and they don't know how to quench that thirst. But we can quench that thirst through the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the living water. Where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You know, everything we have in this life, all of our possessions, all of our stuff, everything we could accrue, the loving kindness of the Lord is better than all of that. It's better than life. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. If you want your soul to be satisfied, there's only one way to make that happen, and that is to have the Lord Jesus Christ living inside you, to have the Holy Ghost dwelling within you. That's the only thing that's going to fill that void in your life. That's the only way you're ever going to be satisfied.
Amen.
If you want your soul to be satisfied, you need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And you know, that's a wonderful thing to do as we're falling asleep at night, to just pray to the Lord. That's a wonderful thing to do. There's no better way to fall asleep. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. It's the only way you're ever going to be satisfied. That's the only way you're ever going to be complete. You follow hard after the Lord. Seek him with your whole heart. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. You see, if you don't have Jesus, it's all vanity. But if you want your soul to be satisfied, only Jesus Christ can fill that void. Why don't we go now to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And we are going to learn what the preacher is going to tell us is the whole duty of man. The way you can feel happy and complete and fulfilled. The way you can fill that void in your lives. We're going to read about that in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. Verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, we need to remember the Lord always, even when things are going good for us, even when things are going well, even when we're youthful and we feel like nothing's going to slow us down, we got that spring in our step, so much to look forward to in life. I tell you what, though, what we have in this life, none of that is going to compare to what we have to look forward to in heaven. That's what's really going to matter. Verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. And of course, what is man's long home? Eternity. And all of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. We're all going to have a long home. We want that long home to be heaven. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And you know, we all know that we are but the dust of the earth. And we will return to that dust, our bodies, but thank the Lord, He's going to give us new bodies. Praise the Lord. And these bodies cannot even compare to those bodies that we will have. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. And of course, we know that Solomon wrote many proverbs. We have the book of Proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And you know, they do keep making books all the time, more and more books. Books all the time. And these days, they even put them on those little e-readers. People have their Kindles. They're not even paper books anymore. But there are a lot of books, and there's a lot of things we could learn. But what we really need to learn, what we really need to know, what we really need to lay to heart, we can find in this book, the Bible. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Have you ever wondered, what is my duty as a man or a woman? What is my duty? Well, we read about it right here. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And that is our duty, to keep His commandments, to fear God, to respect Him, to be in awe of Him, to serve Him faithfully. That's our duty. And, you know, there are a lot of commandments in the Bible. There are a lot of important ones. And one of those commands we find is in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of all your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is a command. That's one of the commands we need to keep. I know a lot of people think it's an optional thing, but it is a command. The Scriptures tell us to do that. And, you know, some people might say, well, what if somebody dies before they ever have the chance to be baptized? Well, that's one thing, and God is merciful. He knows the condition of our hearts. But, you know, if we can be baptized, there's no reason not to do it. It's actually a very joyful experience, as I'm sure Chris can attest to. It's a wonderful thing to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and that's one of the commandments that we are given. And there are other commandments that we can read about in the Bible. You know, if you read in Matthew chapter 5 and the subsequent chapters, we read about the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus gives us very, very practical advice. He gives us commands, actually, on how we should live our lives. We've looked at that before. Perhaps we'll get that again in the future. But there are many, many commands that we must obey. It is our duty as men and women. And we remember that Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If we really love Him like we say we do, we will keep His commandments. It's our duty to do so. Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, nothing is hidden from the Lord. Nothing is secret from Him. You can't hide anything from God. There may be people who try. There may be powerful people out there doing all kinds of wretched things, secret societies and so forth, and they think it's all a big secret. But it's not. God sees it all. And there is a day coming when every work will be brought to judgment. It tells us in verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So if you want to live a happy and fulfilled life, we need to do our duty. We need to fear God and keep his commandments. And to be complete in Christ Jesus, how do we do that? Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 2. This is how we can be complete and fulfilled. You know, there are a lot of people out there, they feel that void. They don't know how to fill it, but they feel that void, and they try all sorts of things. There's only one way to be complete. There's only one way to be made whole, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, it tells us in verse 1, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. And you know, God does reveal things about himself to us. We can't comprehend everything because we are mere mortal human beings. But he does reveal many wonderful things to us, and he does comfort us. He is the comforter. Praise the Lord. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, people, they might build up great wealth, possessions, treasures, silver and gold, great money. But there are treasures in this book. Treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and we can have those treasures. Doesn't matter how much money we have, we're all the same in that regard, but we can have this wisdom and this knowledge that we find in his book. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You want to feel happy and fulfilled in this life, then you need to walk in Jesus Christ. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We can be happy, we can be rooted, we can be built up, we can be established in the faith. If we walk with the Lord Jesus, if we obey his commandments, if we do our duty, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And you know, there are a lot of traditions of men out there. Some religions, that's all they have. They don't have God, but they have their traditions. They have their motions they go through. They have their rituals. But they don't have God. All they have is vain and empty religion. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we know that to be true. You know, God is invisible, but Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. And if you read John chapter 14, I know I've mentioned this many times, and sometimes it seems like I mention it every week, but John chapter 14, he says, I and my Father are one. You know, if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father, because the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. You can't see God without seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you can't know God. And you can't be complete. There's only one way to be complete, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we can feel happy and fulfilled when we walk with the Lord Jesus, not after the traditions of men, but when we're in Jesus Christ. He is the only way we will ever feel complete. He's the only way we're going to fill that void in our lives. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And what a wonderful thing it is to be buried with him in baptism, to rise and walk in newness of life, have our sins washed away, dead to our old works, to our old ways. Praise the Lord. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Praise the Lord. You know, when we do our duty, when we obey the Lord, when we obey his commandments, when we fear him and respect him, he forgives us all our trespasses. When we repent of our sins, when we're baptized in his name, praise the Lord. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. And you know, people, they have those traditions they keep, but those traditions aren't going to save them. There's salvation. Our salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. And you know, all of that old covenant, that was just a shadow of things to come, and it was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And you know, we know there are angels out there. The Bible tells us that. And there are angels that watch over us, but we must never pray to those angels. We must never worship those angels. We read about that last week in the book of Revelation. And, you know, we're not to worship angels or the prophets or anyone who was going on. We are to worship God only. And some people in some religions, they pray to angels. Sometimes they even worship angels. They have little icons that carry around a certain angels that they think will protect them, you know. I mean, we're not supposed to worship angels. They're servants of the Lord. Why would you worship the servants? Worship the Lord. 19, and not beholding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. You see, we don't need to obey the commandments and doctrines of men. We need to obey the commandments of God. We need to follow the doctrines laid out in the scriptures, but not the commandments of men. The commandments of God. And there's a big difference. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So we see here in Colossians chapter 2 that if you want to be complete, if you want to be fulfilled, there's only one way to do it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We are complete in him. He will fill that void in our lives. And there are so many people who they feel that void every day. They're looking for an answer. There's only one answer I know of to give them, and that's Jesus. We all need Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy scriptures. We thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the many lessons thou hast taught us. And we thank thee for filling that void in our lives. We thank thee for dwelling inside us with thy Holy Ghost. And we know, O God, that we can be complete only in thee. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst abide in our hearts always, that we would lay these words to heart and never forget them. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us the strength to follow hard after thee and not after the world. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be with us each and every day going forward. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And we'll sing a chorus in closing. I guess we'll sing 78, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you're dismissed unto prayer. Thank you. Amen.